Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm broadcasting from Marin County, California. I'm excited to have Chris Austria as my guest today. Chris Austria works for the Ngamba Island Chimpanzee Sanctuary in Uganda. Originally from San Francisco, California, Chris has worked with tigers, lions, leopards, birds of prey, and a variety of animals for many years at Marine World Africa USA, Six Flags Discovery Kingdom in Vallejo, California, and also at the San Francisco Zoo. A few years ago, Chris moved to Ethiopia to work for a wildlife conservation organization focusing on protecting the wildlife in eastern Ethiopia. Today, we'll be talking about his work there and what it's like to work with tigers and lions and chimpanzees. To connect with Chris Austria online, please visit his website, www.chrisaustria.com. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you very much, Margot. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure for me to be interviewed by you.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show, and it was so much fun meeting you at the West Coast Songwriters, well, it wasn't West Coast Songwriters, but at the fundraiser at Phoenix that I went to because of West Coast Songwriters, and that was just an amazing evening, that event. In fact, if you could start out just telling us a little bit about that, because it's still live on Phoenix's website, too.
Yes, it is. We do have a live stream of the event, and aside from my work with animals, I have been in the music business for many years, and that's how I had a connection with West Coast Songwriters. They are a fabulous organization that really helps writers and performers and musicians, and the Phoenix hosted this event, and it was a fundraiser for the Ngamba Island Chimpanzee Sanctuary. As you mentioned, it's in Uganda, in East Africa.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pleasure meeting you there, and it was also great to meet a lot of other musicians that put a lot of time and a lot of effort and gave a lot of their performances to benefit our chimpanzees.
It was a super fun night. It really was. I was looking forward to it, and I was curious to find out more about Ngamba Island and your work there. And in addition to that, there was, like you said, all these musicians that were donating their time to the event. And, of course, Bob Crane, who's part of the West Coast Songwriters, created that really cool song, Take Me Home, for Pasa, one of the chimpanzees. And I just love that song. I think it's really, really a great song. And it's also available online as well.
It really is, and I was so inspired when Bob told me that he wrote a song about Pasa. Pasa is a 16-year-old chimpanzee on Ngamba Island, and she was turned into wildlife authorities because someone had purchased her from an illegal wildlife trader, because a lot of times there's unfortunately a pet trade, and Pasa was very young, about 6 months of age when she came to Ngamba Island, and she had to have 24-hour care because she was so young. But now she's strong and healthy, and she has a song dedicated to her.
It's a beautiful song. And later in my newsletter and also in the Facebook event, I'll put the link so that people can buy the song, because when they buy the song, the money goes to Ngamba Island.
That would be great. And I would like to take a moment to say hello in the Luganda language to my friends at Ngamba Island and those who are listening in Uganda. And basically what I'm saying is thank you very much, and I welcome you, and your country is very beautiful. Osibiochano ochano. Osibiochano basebo nebanyabu mulimucha insanyuse okobalaba bambita mayanja Uganda nunjinyonyo. And basically, that's a welcome.
Wow, that's so cool that we're going to have people listening from there, too. You know,
yes, definitely.
It's one of the really great things about this format of a radio show is that people can listen to the show online anywhere in the world. And it's so wonderful how the internet has allowed us to connect with people all over the world like this. Isn't that incredible?
Yes, it's really a marvelous experience to be able to really reach out to so many other different countries, and it really assists us quite a bit with wildlife conservation.
Now, how did you get involved in working with the animals?
I grew up in a musical family. My father was a violinist in the San Francisco Symphony for 35 years, and my mother was a guitarist and pianist. And I was really blessed to hear classical music as I was growing up. My other love was animals, and I started volunteering at the California Academy of Sciences, and it was the Steinhardt Aquarium, the herpetology department, and I really had a love for reptiles. Then I eventually became licensed by the California Fish and Game and practiced falconry, which is raising and training birds of prey.
Mm-hmm.
And that eventually brought me to Marine World Africa USA in Vallejo, and I worked at the bird department. And on and off, I volunteered with the tiger and lion area. And it was really my dream to work with tigers and lions ever since I was a young child. And my role model was Dr. Jane Goodall when I was growing up. Saw a lot of her documentaries, and there was National Geographic magazines that my parents had, and I saw her photos of her studies of the chimpanzees in Tanzania.
Mm-hmm.
And also George Adamson, who was a conservationist in Kenya, he and
mm-hmm.
his wife Joy Adamson, they raised a lot of lions and rehabilitated them, and they were a real inspiration to me. When I first started working with the tigers and lions at Six Flags, or Marine World at the time, it is now Six Flags Discovery Kingdom,
mm-hmm.
it was just such an epic experience. And I was able to teach people about wild animals, and it really inspired deep within me a desire to protect endangered species.
You know, we used to go to Marine World a lot when our son Xander was growing up. He's 25 now, and so I'm not sure what years you were there, but we might have even seen you there. And I just loved seeing the tigers, and I loved seeing all the animals. I've had a couple people lately complain to me about places like that, though, saying that it's not fair for the animals to be in captivity like that. But, you know, it seemed to me that it helped us learn how awesome those animals are. So what are your feelings about that?
Six Flags really does a great job of taking care of their animals. And
mm-hmm.
I really feel that it's important that the public is able to see these species that are really endangered. And unfortunately, there are certain throughout the country and throughout the world that don't take great care of their animals, and
mm-hmm.
zoos do play a very important role.
Yeah, it to me is to being able to go there and see the tigers and to be able to see people working with them, and that is so awesome, and to see the giraffes and all these other animals that are so beautiful and just. I just fall so in love with them every time I've seen them. And to tell you the truth, the reason I like to go there is because of the animals. That's, you know, I don't like going on the roller coasters. My husband's love that. But for me, the draw is the animals and the dolphins and the whales and all of that. And to be able to help, you know, I love animals, all animals. And in fact, my cat's here on my desk right now. He's a big cat, but he's not as big as the cats that you work with. So, you know, how what is that like playing with the tigers like that?
Tigers and lions and the big cats are wild animals. It's never a situation where you tame or domesticate them.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it can be very dangerous working with them. And even
mm-hmm.
though you raise them as cubs, and you develop a very close relationship with them, they still have those wild instincts. And there were times that I was injured and had to go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily where they're just playing with you. There are times where they do act aggressive. But it's truly an honor to be able to gain the acceptance of a tiger or a lion and to work that closely with them. It's a breathtaking experience, and it really changed my life. And as I mentioned, it inspired within me a deep love for wild animals and a strong desire to work in wildlife conservation. And to be able to sit with these animals is just, it's an epic experience. And I really valued the time that I had to be able to teach people animals. And it was great because I had people write me letters or send me emails years later, and they would state that they were inspired by the educational programs that we had given, and it really encouraged them to pursue a career in veterinary medicine or wildlife. And I was very encouraged by that.
Oh, that's fantastic. So now, how did you eventually end up in Africa?
I was very close to the Ethiopian community here in San Francisco and in Oakland, and mm-hmm. I learned a lot about the culture, and my Ethiopian friends, in fact, started teaching me the language a few years ago. And mm-hmm. I want to say a greeting to some of my Ethiopian friends out there and those who are in Ethiopia. Salam Noe, in Kwande Nematachu, Yenesim Christiano, Ethiopia Betam Konjaganat, Ye Abisha Bahel Betam Konjano, Ethiopia Betame Wedalu. And I fell in love with the language and the culture. And a friend of mine, his name's Melaku, he invited me to visit him in Addis Ababa, which is the mm-hmm. capital. He lived in Oakland for many years, but moved back to Addis. And I took the offer, and a few years ago I visited Ethiopia for the first time. And while I was there, I connected with an organization called Wildlife for Sustainable Development, and the executive director is an elephant researcher. His name is Dr. Yizmid Demake. Mm-hmm. And I was offered a position working for the organization. And after spending a few months in Ethiopia, I came back. I sold most of my belongings, put a lot into storage, and rented out my house in Oakland, and then moved to Ethiopia. And aside from the wildlife, I was just so in love with the people, the culture, and the food, the language. One of the things that really attracted me about Ethiopia was the fact that it truly is the cradle of humanity.
Hmm.
Lucy, or Dinkanish, which is our earliest hominid relative, was found in northern Ethiopia. And this is,
wow.
Her skeletal remains are about 4 million years old.
Mm-hmm.
And also in the southern region of Ethiopia, which is the Omo Valley, in 1967, Richard Leakey and some researchers found skeletal remains of what they call Omo 1 and Omo 2. And those are our earliest hominid relatives that migrated from Ethiopia to other parts of the world. And that was about 195,000 years ago. The history there is just really marvelous and spectacular.
Wow, that's really amazing. So then how did you go from that to working with the Ngamba Island Chimpanzee Sanctuary?
I was really connected with the Ugandan artist community here in the U.S., and I had two friends. One is Jimmy Chitamarike, who is a Ugandan artist, and my other friend is David Chibuka. He's actually from Canada, but spends a lot of time in Uganda. And they told me quite a bit about their beautiful country and the art and the culture and the wildlife that is there. And I eventually went to Uganda a couple years ago. My artist friend David Chibuka introduced me to another artist named, he's a wildlife artist, Taga Nuangaba.
Mm-hmm.
I went to many of the national parks in Uganda, and it was just really gorgeous and unbelievable to be able to be so close to herds of elephants and lions. And it was almost, I can't put into words the feelings that I had when I was out in the savannas with all these wild animals in just beautiful environments. When I was
it would be great for everyone, anyone to do that amazing experience, but especially with your background of how much you love the animals and know what it was like to be up close with them, that must have been just an amazing feeling.
It really was. And I was also in Rwanda. I spent a lot of time in Rwanda, which is south of Uganda. And I also want to say a greeting to my Rwandan friends. Imwiriwe, Amakuda, Nitwa Christophe, Murakaza Neza, Nkunda Rwanda, Rwanda ni Ingihugu Chiza. And one of the experiences that I had in Rwanda was in Inyungwe National Park, which is in the southwest part of the country, and I had the opportunity to observe a family of chimpanzees in the forest canopy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a pivotal moment for me. I had spent a lot of time around primates during my work at Marine World and Six Flags.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew at that point that I really wanted to pursue conservation for chimpanzees. And when
mm-hmm.
I was in Uganda, I met the executive director of Ngama Island. Her name's Lily Ajalova. And
mm-hmm.
I was really inspirited when I talked to her about her work with the 48 orphan chimpanzees on the island and also her tremendous efforts towards conserving the population of chimpanzees in the wild and also their habitats.
Oh, wow. I have to say that, you know, I didn't even know about all this before the event at Phoenix for the fundraiser, but it just touches my heart so much that this is how you're living your music now. It's so interesting how you grew up in a family where it really was literally music and that music has been a part of your life. But as Wayne Dyer always says, he says, don't die with your music still in you, and that's whatever you feel called to do. And it's so plain, that so clear that you feel called to do this. And like you said, you felt inspirited, you felt inspired to do this. And it's just so, I just want everyone else out there to think about what they would like to do, too. While we're finishing up talking here, I'd like to mention real quickly that next week, on September 2nd, my guest will be Swati Nagam, and we're going to be talking about her work as a coach in her new ebook, 12 Steps to Happiness, and what she's learned about how to feel happy during the show. And people can sign up for my e-newsletter at margojoydenader.com to get updates on the shows and links for the shows. And I'd like all of you listening out there to think about how you'd answer these questions. What music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limiting beliefs and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. And oh my gosh, it is such an amazing planet, Chris. You know, it really is. It just, as you know, you've seen so much more of it than I have, and it's so amazing what you're doing and what all those people are doing. I think it's fantastic.
Oh, thank you. And I also want to mention, to learn more about Ngamba Island, you can visit ngambaisland.com. And we're located on the beautiful waters of Lake Victoria in East Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And Lake Victoria is Africa's largest lake. And we were founded in 1998 in Uganda by Dr. Jane Goodall and a group of founding trustees. And Ngamba Island is home to 48 orphan chimpanzees that have been rescued from the illegal wildlife trade. And now they live on 95 acres of beautiful forest habitat.
That's fantastic. Now, they also have your website. It's chrisaustria.com. And are you on Facebook and Twitter as well?
Yes, Twitter, I'm at Chris Austria. Instagram, at Christopher Austria. And Facebook, at Chris Austria.
And can they get all of those links on your website at chrisostria.com?
Yes, they can.
Oh,
the links
good.
Are all
good.
Right there, including my email. They can also reach me by email.
Oh, good. So now you're here in California right now, but are you going back over there pretty soon, or what's your schedule? Do you have some upcoming events here?
I do. I'm here doing fundraising and presentations for Ngama Island. My
mm-hmm.
next presentation is October 8th, and that is sponsored by the Sierra Club, and that will take place at the Ed Roberts campus, which is right across from the Ashby BART station in Berkeley.
Mm.
And the Institute for Population Studies is also sponsoring it. And aside from speaking about the chimpanzees at Ngamba Island, I will also talk about the wildlife in Ethiopia, Rwanda, and Uganda. And there also is the Wildlife Conservation Network Expo, which is on October 10th. And I'm going to be at the booth with some of the other supporters of Ngamba Island, and Jane Goodall
mm-hmm.
is going to be a keynote speaker. And I also
really?
want
she's
to,
actually
yes,
going to be there, huh?
Yes, she is, and we're going to be honored to have her speak to us. And aside from Ngamba Island, I also work very closely with Friends of the Chimpanzee Sanctuary and Wildlife Conservation Trust, and that is the nonprofit that was established here in the U.S., and the mission is to support the chimpanzees at Ngamba Island and also chimpanzee conservation worldwide. And we're going to be at Wildlife Expo on October 10th.
Now, all those dates, all those, the information for those are on your website, though, right?
The October 8th and October 10th, I will be putting them on my website within the next couple of days.
Okay.
And all the information will be on there.
Okay, fantastic, because those really sound like they would be really good to go to. Oh.
And then in answer to your question, I'm going to be going back to East Africa in about 3 months mm-hmm. after I'm done with the presentations and fundraisers.
Mm, so you spend part of your time here and then part of your time there.
I spend most of my time in East Africa, but my parents and my brother, sister-in-law, and my two nieces are here, and including all my friends from the Bay Area. I want to give a big shout-out to them. And my roots will always be here, even though I spend more time there. But it's
mm.
great to be able to visit and to connect with you and all the other people that I also met during our Phoenix fundraiser.
Oh, yeah. And it was great. Your family was there. I got to not talk to, but meet by seeing them, your dad and your mom, and I loved how your dad brought up that your mom was part of how you got so interested in animals because of giving you stuffed animals when you were a little boy.
That's where it all started. Giving
yeah.
me tigers and chimpanzees to play with, stuffed animals to play with when I was a kid. And my parents were really patient. I had a lot of big pythons and boas sometimes at the house that would escape. They weren't
too
happy about that, but they really supported me and continue to support me in my work in wildlife conservation.
I've always been a little on the afraid side when it comes to the reptiles. And it was really funny because I was talking with Bob Crane about animals and that I love all animals, and he was saying that his wife, Mary, who's such a sweetheart, that she loves all of them, even the ones that don't have any legs.
Right. And so do I. One of the magnificent experiences for me was being in Ethiopia in the eastern part, Awash
mm-hmm.
National Park, and being in a river with very large Nile crocodiles there. And I was able to photograph them. And also in Rwanda, Akagera National Park, which is in northeastern Rwanda, there's beautiful Nile crocodiles there. And also, I want to mention Akagera National Park, they just brought in 7 lions from South Africa into the park and are integrating them into the area because Rwanda has not had lions for about 15 years. So that's really great news. I look forward to photographing them when I return.
Wow. Oh, my gosh, what a life you are living. when I think about living your music and how you're doing it, it just blows me away. It's just so incredible. And I mean, so many people out there, myself included, have let fear stop them at times in their life, for me many, many times. And it's just, you know, once you finally do let yourself live the music that you hear calling you, if you do something you feel really inspired to do, that helps you have the courage to keep doing whatever it is that you're going to do. And so I want everybody else listening out there to remember that we all need to listen to our heart and to do what we feel inspired to do, not what everybody else tells us to do. Right, Chris? I mean, that's what I'm hearing you say here more than anything, is your parents inspired you and encouraged you to go in the direction that felt right for you.
I would have to say the tigers and lions were really my greatest teachers. They taught me to look beyond my fear, to push past my fear, because there's definitely times working with them, you're going to be afraid. They're dangerous animals. And I learned this almost Zen approach to just push past my fear and not let it distract me or stop me from moving towards what I want to do in my life. And ever since working with tigers, learning to clear my mind and push past that fear has helped me in everything that I'm doing. And it's almost like the fear is just, you just brush it off your shoulder. But it took a lot of training for me to get to that point. And I have to thank the tigers and lions for that.
Wow, it sounds like something that you could teach the rest of us. And, you know, because you're right. I mean, if you can get over that fear of being with a tiger right there, that's, you know, some of the people feel like there's a tiger after them when it's just really, you know, their own false evidence appearing real, as people say about fear, you know, about things that are going on in their own head about what could happen or might happen.
And one of the things I also want to stress about following your dreams and overcoming your fears, it's not easy. It takes a lot of time and a lot of determination to just keep going no matter what. No matter how many obstacles you encounter, you just keep pushing forward.
I totally agree. The thing that people forget about is that dreams don't necessarily happen overnight. They happen in what I call divine timing. You know, they happen when they're meant to be. And that's part of why, you know, we can't plan out the whole scenario in a linear fashion necessarily of what we're going to do and how we're going to do it and when we're going to do it, because all of the different factors have to come into our life before it's time for it to happen. And, you know, that's, I think, the key to it. We've only got less than 2 minutes left. Is there something that you'd like to say just before we finish?
Yes, I really think it's very important to conserve wildlife. And chimpanzees are our closest living relatives, and they share 98.7% of our DNA. And when I spent time, I was living on Ngama Island for a month in March, and being so close to these chimpanzees, it just was so heartwarming, and it taught me a lot. And I just want to stress, I think it's a very important part of our heritage and our humanity to protect wildlife and to protect biodiversity as a whole.
I totally agree. And I found that even with our cat, Bender, you know, he reminds me to be in the moment. Animals are so in the moment, and when you're with them, it helps you be in the moment. And so I think that's part of, for me, what is such a great joy about being with animals. And thank you so much, Chris, for being on my show. Thank you so much for all of the things that you're doing for all of the animals, the chimpanzees, the lions, tigers, and for helping us all learn about it, too. I really, really appreciate that.
You're very welcome. And I want to say very quickly, thank you to my friends in Rwanda, Muzikwazichani, Nahubutaha, in Uganda, Neyanziza, Basebo Nebanyabu, Tuna Labagana, and all my friends in Ethiopia, Exabi Steling, Leila Gizine, Neganan Yalin. And thank you very much, Margo. I appreciate your time, and I hope to meet with you soon sometime.
I hope so, too. Thank you, Chris, and thank you, everyone, for listening. That's time to end the show, and bye for now.
Thanks to all the listeners.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now.